For Crime Report with our man Joe Jacqueline, retired sergeant of the NYPD. By the way, brought to you by the Subprime Stoppers, 1-800-220-TIPS. All calls kept confidential. Monetary reward of up to $5,000 for information to an arrest. A sergeant in his own day and a former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College, author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators. Third edition, Joe in his day, a highly decorated member of the NYPD, including the Department Medal of Valor. And we say a very good morning to the SARS and a happy new year to you, sir.
Good morning, Jay. Happy new year to you.
I'll tell you, so much on the plate today, so let's get right to it. Wednesday, riots. Joe, the mob scene, couldn't believe it. What I saw right around, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. On a Wednesday, and of course, the big question, how does this happen? How does this happen? Where was the security? Where was the command post? What happened to the Capitol Police Department, so lauded for their swiftness and everything else in years past? Nobody has a firm answer, Joe. I mean, Sarge, do you?
Nobody's going to have an answer. We're going to have to wait till they do an after-action report to find out exactly what transpired here. I know Nancy Pelosi was calling for the resignation of the chief of police. I had done something similar. I was in a number of interviews earlier and said that the entire command staff had to be replaced, that they were woefully unprepared. You can't tell me that any different. There is no evidence to say that they were prepared. The cops did the best they could with the numbers they had, but they just didn't have enough personnel there to deal with a riot. Now, I'm still trying to shake my head and figure out how they didn't think that something could kick off. I mean, this has been planning for weeks and months, knowing that the Senate vote off was going to happen, and now we're this is what you're dealing with, and they're like, okay, yeah, everything is going to be fine. Oh God, what a mess, Jay.
Joe, I was thinking about this yesterday when I pay my traffic tickets in Suffolk County, walk into that building there in Hot Park. You're greeted by about 10 cops, metal detectors, left and right, cops patrolling always. I mean, it's unbelievable. You look at how the Capitol building was broken into with those windows. I mean, it looked like saran wrap. I can't figure that one out either, it's not only the where were the Capitol cops, but, what about security for these buildings? My goodness. I could not believe the flimsy nature of getting into a federal building, the symbol of America. It looked way too easy. I couldn't believe it.
Well, just think this basically ragtag group of individuals, right, one dressed as a bull, can just take over the U.S. Capitol. Could you imagine what a well-trained terrorist group or a rogue nation had plans, what they would be able to do?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. There needs to be a full evaluation of every federal building after this incident. Like you said, for physical security, for the personnel security, and the staff that commands them. Because what we witnessed the other day was just an absolute abomination and a dereliction of duty, as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe the worst in the history. Joe, have you ever seen anything worse in your day? I mean, you're the guy to ask, right? I mean, with all the experience, have you seen a moment worse in time?
Yeah, I don't think anything would compare to 9/11 in that respect. But this was an attack on all America. This was something that now I believe every American deserves an answer to what exactly transpired in Washington, D.C. the other day. Because this was, I'm looking through history, I think the last time the White House and everything was sacked was in the War of 1812 by the British. So that's how I equate this. The Capitol got sacked yesterday by this group, and, and they're posting pictures and sitting in Nancy Pelosi's chair, and there was a woman posted her video last night saying, she starts off with saying that we didn't vandalize anything, but we did break down Nancy Pelosi's door and steal her gavel. Like, you kind of say to yourself, like, what's wrong with you people? And then, so now we have her confession. Well, now go arrest her. Everybody that they can identify, they should be prosecuted and arrested. But you know what, Jay? There's one person that really nobody's talking about, and that's, I don't know if you saw the picture of the guy in military gear carrying a handful of zip ties. Did you see him?
Oh, I did not. Spoke to me about that.
There's a picture of a guy. He's covered from head to toe. You can barely see him. He's got a helmet on. He's got a black, it looks like a bullet-resistant vest and the military-style pants. And he has in his left hand, as he's climbing over the seats, a handful of zip ties, maybe five or six of them. Now, and the zip ties are already made, so they're ready to be handcuffed for people. He needs to be found immediately. He needs to be identified, and he needs to be debriefed about what his plan was. Because if you think about it, there's only one reason why you have zip ties already made, and that's that you're going to put people in cuffs. So this is a more dangerous situation than we were just watching on TV about a bunch of idiots, you know, breaking things. This is now an investigation about, was this person or were people involved in this group prepared to take politicians and kidnap them, basically. I mean, this is some serious stuff. I mean, we forget about the Governor Whitmer thing up in Wisconsin, you know, where they were going to attack the building and arrest her. I mean, there were a lot more, like I said, serious implications. I mean, if you find that picture and you can find what I'm talking about, if people are out there listening, if you're at home, just Google this. This is, if you didn't see it, this is absolutely frightening.
It is. Five people dead, a veteran, three due to medical condition type stuff. And, of course, a word came out late last night into this morning that one Capitol Police officer passed away due to injuries. So, in essence, you know, there's a lot going on right now with this investigation and rounding up these thugs. And hopefully they put them away for a long time. And it's, yeah, listen. And the one image, again, I can't seem to get rid of and blaze into my head is the one cop as he's going up the stairs solo, trying to ward off the mob. And each flight turns around and the mob's following him. You know, again, you ask, where is everyone else? I mean, you know, it's like, what is that, one guy in there in broad daylight? I mean, unbelievable. It's hard to believe. You know, Joe, I'm not a conspiracy theorist type of guy, but man, I'll tell you, you can't help but think, you know, obviously premeditated on all fronts here. I mean, you know, this is a rally on the calendar, and they had ample notice as far as what was going to happen here. It's there's a million questions, Joe. I'll tell you, I hope we get answers to most of them.
Well, that's what I said. We should demand this after action report. And you know what, Jay? How could you not know there was going to be violence? I mean, at the very least, there could have been a counter protest, which we've seen all summer long, right? So when this group of individuals get together, the other group of so the left and right have been fighting all summer. And how do you not think that there's going to be violence that's going to break out is beyond me. And people are pointing out that if you look towards the summer protest with Black Lives Matter, that they were much better prepared, right? There was the National Guard was on the scene. All that stuff was there in place. And I have to ask the question too, and it beckons an answer. How come they weren't this prepared like they were during the summer? What happened? What who made that decision?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question right now, no question. We'll see. Joe Jackal on the crime report. Joe, let's get on to some other stuff here. Let's head into Nassau County, where Patrick Ryder put out some reforms with the police department. You got the body cameras. You have other paraphernalia that will be attached here. But in essence, you know, the governor putting out mandates and they needed some reforms. Ryder came through regarding collect racial data from the traffic stops. We know that has been an issue, although, you know, more storylines have to come out of that as far as I'm concerned. And also the requirement of more hours of anti-bias and de-escalation training. So the plan, which is a mandate, and that from the commissioner, what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, it's unfortunately they're being forced to do this, right? This is not like, oh, we're going to take the step and take care of all this stuff. This is being forced by the governor, so they had no choice but to comply. But just circling back on this, the body cams, I don't understand why they're fighting the body cams. We've seen it over and over again that the body cams have saved cops' careers more times than not. The body cams give this inside look to the public who thinks that, you know, policing is just an easy job. And it shows how difficult it is. And they also show how poorly members of the public act when they're going to be arrested. So this is something that I don't know why it's taken so long. I mean, it looks like the last contract was defeated because maybe the body cam issue. But I think you just have to finally embrace it and you know, use it and look at the benefits that it's given cops throughout the country.
And there's a you know, stipend attached and everything else for these things. And there was some budgetary issues with unions. Chiming in as far as the final contracts. You know, there's a lot of back and forth here within the county. So interesting there. We'll see what happens with that. Let's go to the Queens DA's office investigating an allegation, Joe, that NYPD cops used a band restraint technique by placing their knees on the neck of an Elmont man that was being arrested. And that encounter was recorded by a bystander and then posted to Twitter, but some situations regarding now this DA's office. Did you catch this story?
I haven't caught the story yet, Jay. I got tied up yesterday with a number of news agencies over what happened in D.C., but just talking off the cuff, this is the chokehold law that was passed in July that basically says that if the cops use any pressure on the back or neck, that even during the arrest, even if it's unintentional, they could be arrested. So this is what has led to a lot of situations where there's been a fewer arrests. So I haven't seen the video yet. I'm not going to make any judgment on that, but that's just what the law says.
Listen, here's where I stand, because you and I spoke about this months ago where you had a perpetrator who was in a chokehold with a cop. And nobody said anything about that, did they, when that cop was in a chokehold? Nobody said a thing about that. Where was the city council back then? That happened right on the streets of Brooklyn, right? Remember that?
Good.
The
I remember
video
clearly, sure.
At night and everything else. Nobody, I didn't hear Corey Johnson chiming in, did you? I didn't hear anybody. So,
yeah, never will.
Yeah, it's just one of those deals, you know? Yeah, no question. Joe Jacklin, the crime report. Hey, let's go to a serious situation in Copeg where you had a guy who is being investigated, or at least arrested, I believe. Grand larceny and everything else. This is one of those scam deals. And Letitia James came out with warnings and everything else, especially to the elderly as far as, you know, beware. Because there's some scam artists out there regarding, you know, the old send money, your grandson's been arrested, that type of thing. But very apparent what's going on. And they actually got a guy who, you know, was about to take $5,200 from some woman in North Carolina who sent him a package. And, Joe, you know, we tell folks all the time, beware here.
Right. I think his last name was Corona. Is this the case you're talking about?
Yep. That is it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it was actually even more. I think it was like around $8,000. And he was trying to do the old your grandson was arrested scheme for a DWI. And, you know, like everything else, people, you know, oh my God, they want to try to help out. They want to do things. So fortunately for this one, it ends well, right? She was first instructed to send, I think, the $5,000 for bail money in the mail, right? So, I mean, first of all, folks, this is not how the court works, right? They're not going to say, just send it to the mail. You have to do it in person. You have to present the bond. They don't take really cash per se. At that amount, anyway. The issue that comes down to is that, you know, they notified the police. I guess they figured out that it was a scam later on, so I guess they were waiting for him on the other end when they got the, when he picked up the envelope.
Well, no question. It was a crazy story, Joe, indeed. So, you know, again, we tell people all the time, you got to be careful here. A couple of minutes remain with Joe here. Joe, let's move on to, you know, I tell you, well, let's go to this. It just came out where you had that woman arrested. Remember the woman who was wrestling with this 14-year-old at a hotel in Soho, claimed that the kid stole her phone, and they were after her, and they got her on the West Coast, just came through. This woman now arrested. You know, that was one of those crazy stories again where, you know, you have a woman remember the woman in the park freaked out over a black guy with his dog and everything else. And now they got this woman regarding, you know, accusing this kid of stealing her phone. The phone was actually left in some Uber car. And also the hotel was backing the woman's stance on things here. And they apologize. I tell you, what a mess.
What a mess, right? Yeah, I said it. And they, I'm in today's New York Times about this. And you know, the cops from New York City traveled to California. Now, I had told the reporter, if you could find out from the courts if an arrest warrant was issued, because that's the only way you're getting her out of California. A lot of people don't understand that. You just can't go to California, arrest somebody, and bring her back. You have to get an arrest warrant. You got to go over to California, the Ventura County Police, which they did arrest her. They bring her to a local court. Then you have to wait for the magistrate to do the extradition. So there's a whole process involved in this. So, you know, I guess they couldn't find out if not. But, they, you know, it's very rare that the detectives would travel to another part of the country for a case, you know, unless it's a homicide or a cold case. So this is one of the first times I've seen something like this happened, because they initially said that they weren't investigating this as a bias incident. So this, you know, it's one of those things where there's another video, I don't know if you saw it, where she actually runs after this kid and tackles him or tries to tackle him. Did you see that part of the video from inside the hotel?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she was full blown going after this kid, you know, I mean,
yeah,
man, I'll tell you.
But
they got her.
They have to wait for extradition now. And they actually, from what they said, they actually had to like yank her out of her car. She could get out of the car when they tried to arrest her. So that's a whole other scene.
Question two more for you. Prosecutor during the week in Wisconsin, he not filing criminal charges against the white police officer who shot, remember the Jacob Blake case in Kenosha, in the back last summer, left him paralyzed. A lot of violent protests in and around the city, but the officer, Rustin Chesky, the shooting of Jacob Blake, the caption on video and everything else, you know, I thought there would be more of an uproar as far as the protests, obviously, with what happened at the Capitol building, kind of drowned a lot of other things out. But in essence, that's after the full investigation, that's what the prosecutor came up with.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's like I said, there's a lot more to that story than it happened. And, you know, there's a lot more information that they're privy to that we don't know. The video that they have doesn't tell the whole story, so it's going to be interesting to see. Like I said, the whole Washington, D.C. thing washed out a whole bunch of stuff. And it's unfortunate that it gets swallowed up in the news cycle, but that's an important case that should have been analyzed and decided. I'm sure that the district attorney out there is breathing a sigh of relief that they don't have to explain their reasoning behind the whole thing, because that's what you always wait for. When the district attorney does their press conference and they explain, you know, situation by situation, what exactly transpired, and that kind of got lost in the shuffle.
No doubt. Joe, last one, and I had on Ryan Sullivan at the beginning of the week, and we were talking about this. He's a head of corrections for the Benevolent Association, Police Benevolent Association. So, in essence, you have inmates at the county jail in Nassau have tapped into illicit supplies of narcotics and other drug-type contraband more than 200 times in recent years. This was a Newsday analysis of state records and everything else. It's an alarming story where the seizure of drugs, paraphernalia, 237 times in almost 4 years, marijuana, pills, heroin, other banned substances. And, you know, to me, when I hear this and read this, it's kind of a derivative of not being staffed properly. And again, you know, we talk about the same old stuff as far as what's happening with our enforcement out there, you know?
Well, yeah, there's a number of glaring problems there, because it's not all people who bring stuff historically into the jail cell, too. There's been corrections officers, unfortunately, involved in some of these types of incidents, too. So not only does staffing a problem, but internal investigations become an issue. And also, what's the deterrence, Jay, right? If you get caught trying to smuggle in, you know, a cell phone to somebody or drugs or illegal narcotics, what are the consequences? And have we reduced those consequences so great that people are willing to take the chance?
Well, very troubling deal. And, you know, it just shows you what's going on within the confines of incarceration there, where, you know, people are getting their hands. And, you know, he brought up a good point. You know, fentanyl and everything else, you know, fentanyl can kill, we know, even if it's tossed on you inadvertently. I mean, it's serious stuff. But you know, listen, that's why these guys do the job, and, you know, they do it well, our enforcement, and look what happens in these jails. Unbelievable. Joseph, yeah. You stay well. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. Have a great weekend.
There you go. The great Sarge, Joe Jacklin, Crime Stoppers, 1-800-220-TIP.